Welcome to the Insiders Insights podcast, where we share with you the thoughts of the individuals who are working for projects that are changing the world. Thank you to our sponsor, Credit Coin, the building blocks of trust. For more details, please visit the show notes below.
Thank you, Matthew, for joining us today. So I'm very happy today because we are going to talk with Matt about his project, his vision about crypto markets and his experience and your ideas that brought you to DeFi. So here I am with Matt Powers today. Matt is working for the O3, a very interesting and very big crypto project. Could you please introduce yourself and tell us what you're doing?
Right. Yeah. So I'm Matt Powers. I'm the Chief Communications Director for O3, but it's really just a title to explain that I'm the spokesperson and champion of the protocol. I'm the one who does the AMAs. I do the demos. I go and talk about why users should give it a try. And it really boils down to the technology side is super convenient to use and seamless. I can go into that project a little bit for you, Polina. Have you ever used decentralized exchange like Uniswap and PancakeSwap?
Yeah, sure. I used Uniswap and PancakeSwap, and we even had some
before?
Talk with my friend.
Oh, I might have lost it.
The Pancake, you know, because it's just like the name of the dish. And the experience was quite okay, but sometimes it was difficult to find the right token because the tokens on the launch day, they don't really have like the ticker there. So it's very easy to get scammed, I think, if you use them without, you know, enough research. So I think that O3, you're doing something similar to that. I think I saw that you're doing the wallet and the swap. Is this so?
Right. Yeah. So we have two main products. One is O3 cross-chain wallet, which is a wallet a lot like MetaMask, which I know you've downloaded. I've gotten you to try it out. The other is our dApp. It's called O3 Interchange. And it's basically a cross-chain decentralized exchange. There are two layers of liquidity, meaning two layers of a source for the coins that you're trading to. The first layer powers our bridge, and that's how you bridge across chains. We support 10 EVM compatible chains, starting with Ethereum, BNB, Phantom, Polygon. I could list them all. 10 is a lot. I don't want to name drop, but yeah, we're on 10 blockchains. We support cross-chain swaps among each of them, and we support cross-chain bridging among each of them. So that first layer of liquidity that I mentioned is for bridging. And that bridging is when you're swapping an asset like Ethereum to another chain, but you're keeping the asset the same. So you go from Ethereum on Ethereum chain to Ethereum on BNB chain or Ethereum on Polygon chain. That's bridging. But O3 swap, O3 interchange can offer that no one else can offer is we can also swap across chains. So a lot of people do bridging, but we do cross-chain swaps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that a cross-chain swap is basically when you're swapping a different asset across chains. Mm-hmm. So think about Ethereum on Ethereum chain for BNB on BNB chain.
So you're actually swapping tokens. You're not just issuing their wrapped BNB, for example, on Ethereum blockchain. You're actually doing the swap. Is this so?
Yeah, we're doing the swap in one transaction. So ordinarily, before it existed, users would have to go to a bridging service. They would have to bridge and then swap on the destination chain if they wanted a new token. And that is gas consuming, it's time consuming. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the problem that we're solving with O3 swap is just making it more convenient and less heavy on gas fees.
I have an interesting question for you. I guess because me and you, we are both working with community a lot. So I would like to ask, since the crypto markets in general, they don't do really good, right? And especially new people who just joined this whole blockchain society, they haven't seen ups and downs of crypto markets. So there is a lot of art that is going on like within the community and from outside, you know, even people who never invested, but they heard something. So how do you manage with all of this FUD and like, what do you usually tell to people who are saying that crypto is dying?
Well, first, the community just needs to know that you're there and not going to run away because there have been so many rugs and projects that just want to take people's money. They're not interested in the community interacting. They just want their money. And once they have that, they leave. That's one. Make sure the community knows you're there. You update them on the project's progress. address, totally transparent with them about what's going on. If you're trying to steal from people, don't like leave the space because you're giving a bad name to the space. But if you really want to build a good project, talk to the community and make sure that all the feedback you get from them is integrated into how you're building not only the product, but the community. And they will give so much more back to you than you give to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my number one response to that. It's not always easy when prices are going down, but usually projects don't have so much control over the macro economy and thus the price of their token.
Yeah, that's a very small percentage. Yeah. So your opinion about the crypto market is that it's having maybe some downtrend right now, but you're pretty positive that markets are going to improve. Could you elaborate more on that?
Yeah, sure. I think I'm less bearish than most people. I remember when Bitcoin was $3, for instance, a new entry to the space. So when people call this a bear market, I kind of shrug a little bit because it could totally get way worse so quickly. This is a volatile market, but I don't want people to think that volatility is something that they should be afraid of because it's volatile in both directions, right? So calling this a bear market now, it's only relevant when we think about Bitcoin at like 60K or 40K. That's the only way that you could call what's happening now a bear market. But people just regurgitate what other people say. It's a bear, it's a bear, it's a bear. All the panic spreads. For us here at O3Swap, we're just building and trying to build the next solution and trying to trend and get hot and get people to know our name. That's why, you know, I do all these podcasts so I can speak directly with the people of like Off-Chain Global and let them know that like if they're having a problem swapping across chains, bridging, that there is a solution on the market for them. It's so hard to get eyeballs on a project. Even we give away so much money all the time, like in airdrops and whatnot. And still, like to get those sticky users, to get those really interested users, it is very difficult. And so you need to speak directly to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I see that. I remember we also had a conversation about GameFi and the whole gaming industry with blockchain. I remember that we found out that Minecraft blocked anything related to crypto and for some users that was like huge no-no basically, and that the coin that was like the related to Minecraft, it was like they had a kind of like down spiral. So like what do you think about the whole industry in general, especially now when new regulations are coming in and it's getting kind of hard like to continue building GameFi like and basically games that are connected to DeFi?
Well, I think that gaming is going to be the single greatest onboarding mechanism to will ever occur because there are literally a billion gamers on the planet who are going to want to get into this the moment that there's a good, fun AAA game launched on the blockchain where there's a play-to-earn mechanism. I mean, we saw what happened with Axie Infinity. We see what's happening with Sandbox. These games aren't even that fun yet, and they're having huge, huge uptrends where they're onboarding loads and loads of gamers. I know one of my fate in Arena talked about it. I think, you know, Paulina, you and I are both in Asia, me being in Singapore. I think you're in Hong Kong now.
I'm at home, but I'm going to Singapore next month, actually. We can meet up.
Yeah, that would be awesome. The other thing that I want to stress is that I think that mobile gaming is going to be the big trend for blockchain. If you can play a game on your phone, on the subway, and make part of your rent, at least, playing a fun video game, people are going to really want to do that. And that's something that's already possible today with games like Fate and Arena, which is a totally mobile-based game. I mean, the fun aspect, that's subjective, that's debatable, but these games are not mature yet. Like, more often than not, they're still building, they're still trying to perfect the tokenomics, and that's why we see NFTs really taking over now, because NFTs, a simple build, you write some code, you spit out 10,000 unique images, and you're ready to sell. People can understand that in their minds. Like, I can buy this. Like, this is something I could buy right now. But gaming and tokenomics and finance, people would more often than not rather not think about it. It's too complicated for them. You know, we still have our lizard brains, I think. And
that's
the reality.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. And that's very interesting because when I thought of joining like some, you know, game with like NFT game or play to earn, even like I am pretty well familiar with crypto and blockchain technology, but I was just too lazy to like figure out the whole interface and like connect my wallet, buy this currency, even though I had initial investments already. But I had a talk with a 7-year-old girl here in Hong Kong, and this was mind-blowing for me because it's just my friend's kid, you know, and we were chatting like you would normally talk to your friend's kid, you know, like, yo, how are you? What's your name? And stuff like that. And then she told me that she's playing Minecraft, like online version, and that her classmate is playing, I think, Roblox or Sandbox, like one of those two games. And that she wants to play as well, but he's not giving her the coins so she can buy like some NFTs or some skins for her avatar. And I was like, wait, what? Can we start again, please? Like, your friend, like, how old is he? And she's saying, like, he's 7 years old. And I'm like, 7 years old is playing basically, like, you know, DeFi games, and like they buy something like using crypto. And I was so amazed. For me, it was like I'm doing the market research, because this is like one of the audience that we cannot, you know, just forget about. Basically, the very young kids. I remember myself when I was 7 years old. Like, I definitely couldn't like buy any NFTs on the web, simply because they're probably like the internet was just starting. But yeah, I was playing in the real sandbox, you know, not the metaverse one.
Right. Yeah. I imagine that Roblox has some type of coin that you need to buy, but it's not on the blockchain. So maybe that. For young kids, the whole gamify experience, they're not even going to know that it's like blockchain. They don't care about that. They just want to have fun and play a fun game. You hand them like, I still think about, like, you know, Angry Birds. Like, how popular was that game? Like, it's so dumb to us. Like, when we're adults, like, oh, look at this stupid game. But for them, it's captivating. Like, oh, I can do this. Like, this one has this ability. This one explodes when you hit the building. Like, they're going to want to do that. And there's going to be incentive with coins, whether it's on the blockchain or not. So I think that people are going to build these games on blockchain. And good luck with the tokenomics structure. Yeah. See, yeah, it's difficult. I was into DeFi before I got into gamify and NFTs. When I first saw the Bored Apes, they were under one ETH, and I was like, this is stupid. Why would people send ETH on this? I was like, ETH is going to be the next like gold. ETH is the oil of blockchain.
Yes, why would you spend it to buy like a stupid JPEG?
Yeah, and I was the dumb one. I was thinking, oh, like, there's just people, like, you know, who have a lot of money and are just like kissing it away. But really, if a DeFi project or an NFT project is not gamified, whereas like they're not delivering dopamine to the brains of their users each and every day for tasks that benefit projects, then they're gonna die. It's just the truth. Discords I've seen have been NFT projects, not DeFi projects. The people who understand like how to build like little economy, they don't really understand how to build games. You got to get those people in the same room and have them talk about it, because it's all about making the users feel rewarded and delivering to them the value that they deliver to you. And it's not easy.
Yeah. This is like the thing what you said about dopamine. I think you said it very well, that especially nowadays, you know, and especially young kids, they have so many things to get high on, basically. And that's like every company is competing, like who can give you the most of satisfaction, because like we seek basically satisfaction, this like high, like quick dopamine, and then like if we get that, we can feel good about ourselves for like a few minutes, and then like we can go on with that. And
I honestly understand, because I'm someone who like writes tweets and makes content for a living, and I want people to like the thing that I wrote, but like the thing that I made, to like my public speaking abilities and to praise me. So I understand like how those little things like mean a lot to people. And if you can like welcome someone to your Discord community, for instance, that's value. You're a good moderator. You're delivering value to the people. You can send them a winky face when they say something funny. Like that, it's very tiny, but those little things add up, and the community can glean upon that. I like to think about what's that movie? There's a scene in the movie Crazy Stupid Love where the lady, she like eats on her husband, and it's just totally off topic, but she says to the guy that cheated with, like, oh, like last week you complimented my hair and that was big for me, but this can't go any further. And like those little things like really mean a lot to people. And so if you could form like a friendship with your community to where like they're getting value, not just from the project, but from the community, where you're all friends and tight-knit and talking about the news or the crypto news, then you're going to invest well. And that's just another way of gamifying the experience. You don't always have to give away NFTs or whitelists or coins when somebody does something good for the project. Like you just need to recognize them. And yeah. I'm so sorry to interrupt.
No worries. Like that's why I enjoy doing this podcast, you know, because you can get a lot of insights. Like our podcast is called Insiders Insight. That's why we like to talk with people from the industry, because it's one thing if you just see the interface, you see the end of the AVR and you're communicating with that. But it's another thing if you're building the project, because then you can see, you can also relate yourself to the project as a community member, you know, because we've been in, I guess like we both of us invested into some projects and we know how it does feel to be like, to be on that side of the community. But when you're building up the project, it's sort of a different feeling, because you see it all, you know, like you see the motive, you see what, you see all whys, you see problems. And yeah, it's very interesting. And even the thing that you were saying, that I actually never like draw that parallel between big social media companies and crypto communities, because at the end of the day, based on like your ideas, it just follows basically the same structure and like trying to persuade people that that's what they like to do, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Like if someone likes your Instagram photo, you get like a little dopamine hit, you get a little bit of happiness. Imagine every time you use Instagram and you liked someone's thing, they got like a little, I don't know, like one penny. And then it's like the same thing. That's why a lot of people think SocialFi on the blockchain is going to be huge. Yeah, because if you can sort of build an economy around social media, there's something to be had there, for sure. It's difficult to sort of take out these giants, especially because like Twitter could snap their fingers and say like, oh, we're integrating Ethereum at any time, and they're already built up, already have a user base. Mm. Same with Instagram and Facebook. We saw Facebook try to do it with Libra, get stopped by the regulators. So yeah, this you know, a lot of people come to the in for those dopamine hits. Like, there's no way around that.
Yeah, that's true. And it's neither good nor bad, you know. It's just how society works, I guess. That's like every human at the end of the day, we are social animals, and like we tend to strive for this, you know, affirmation and validation from other people around us. And yeah, not everybody's ready for the like how overwhelming it might be. I like how we shifted from DeFi and GameFi to social and like emotional intelligence.
Yeah, it's a pretty seamless shift. I think like if you ask people like, why do you play video games? I think it's such a good question. And I think it's the same answer, which is like your friends are playing video games with you. So there's social aspects. There's also like the dopamine aspects, like you can build achievements into the game. But I think that if you have a community where you feel like everyone there is your friend, that's a big deal. And I remember I used to play like Xbox 360. I was addicted to Halo 3. That was like an amazing game. I don't know if you ever played it.
I have never, but I heard some friends who had similar experience.
Yeah, it was truly one of those games like for the generation. And I had a group of friends that I played it with. But at this point in my life, I decided like I'm too old to play video games. I need to like change my life, lose weight, like get a girlfriend or something. I can't like be in the house all day. And when I sold all my games and my Xbox 360 for $100, like which was a small amount of money compared to all the games I had. And I like noticed that social aspect of my life, like my world got a little bit smaller and it was a little bit lonelier.
Like you actually felt that like it's just shrinking.
Yeah, because I wouldn't talk, because my friends and I were in different classes at school. So I wouldn't really talk to them anymore. All the talking that we did with one another, you know, like planning going to hang out outside, like planning to go to the football game, planning to like have them come over my house. Like I just like, we had no medium to talk anymore, because all the talking that we did actually was while playing Xbox 360 and having the headset on. So like it was kind of strange. Like of course I made new friends and different interests that I became involved in, but those old friends, like I had lost them forever. Yeah. It was really strange. Yeah.
May I ask how old are you? Like if it actually affects your household so much.
Yeah, yeah. I'm 27.
Okay, you're 1 year older than me. Basically. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Because I didn't experience that. Like I was totally different. I didn't have a phone phone, like a cell phone, till the age I was 18. But that was also my conscious choice. Like, I saw my classmates who are playing like smartphones in the classroom, and I told like one of the girls that, do you know that like that thing that you have has more computing power than people had when they sent the man to the moon? And that phone is smarter than you. And she got angry because I said that. But they really meant that, because she had like one of the best ones. And yeah, like my classmates, they were just like playing, you know, video games during the class. And I understood again, like back to this dopamine thing, how easy we can get addicted to stuff. And everybody's addicted like more or less to something. And I like this phrase a lot. Like some German classic once said that your only freedom is to choose your addiction. And like, it really hits you hard. I mean, if you're in a certain mood, of course.
Yeah, no, it hits hard. Yeah, I think, yeah, no, it's true. We all are addicted to something, especially in this day and age. I think that I saw someone commenting about like the dot-com bubble and Web2. Like, because here at O3 Labs, we really talk a lot about the tech, like the tech behind what's making like transactions cross chains. And what I've found is that nobody cares. Nobody really cares about the tech. As long as you're making their lives more convenient and making everything that they like to do easier and have an amazing UI. And as long as you're making their lives easier, they don't care. They're going to use the product. It's not about, you can't explain a problem with your product. You can't say like, oh, it has to be like that because of the tech. No, if they don't like it and it presents a barrier to them for entry, they're just going to go somewhere else. So that sort of reminds me about what you're saying with like how these people got addicted to like Web2 games on their mobile devices without even understanding the computing power of their cell phone. They don't even know how advanced that device is, and yet they're being sucked into it almost immediately.
Yeah, but it is what it is, you know. Like, even though I understand that, I still get hooked, you know. Like, yeah, I'm addicted to Instagram, I'm addicted to investing into shitcoins, you know. that is what it is, right? And yeah, but just understanding of that doesn't make much difference if you're still doing that. And sometimes it's not like I feel bad about myself, it's just I'm wondering if there is another way, and maybe I haven't tried as much as I know, something like that. Anyhow, Matt, thank you so much for your time. That was a very interesting and kind of like unexpected topic that we talked today about. I definitely gained some insights. So thank you so much for your time, and I hope we can see you sometime again.
Yeah, no, thanks so much for having me, Paulina. I appreciate this impromptu chat. Yeah, thanks so much. And shout out to the off-chain global community. appreciate your time watching this in advance.
Thank you so much. Okay, goodbye. Bye-bye.
The Insiders Insight podcast is meant for informational purposes only and should not be considered as financial or investment advice. Nothing expressed in this podcast should be construed as a solicitation, recommendation, endorsement, or offer to buy or sell any financial products. Information expressed by the host or guest of this podcast does not necessarily reflect any views of our sponsors.